Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Nobody pray for me. It been a day for me.
Hey, I remember syrup sandwiches and crumb allowances, finessing on them.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB on another crisp, cold, chilly, freezing weekend in the Midwest. 29 degrees, snow is on the ground, which can only mean it's time to talk baseball and warm things up. A hot stove in the middle of the season. We could use a hot stove in the middle of the regular season. My name is Brad Porter. We are broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios. Jed Marshall is running the show today. And we now bring in David Leske from Baseball Perspectives, who writes about the Royals, at DB Leske, L-E-S-K-Y. David, welcome to Sundays in April, third straight Sunday with snow, right?
Yeah, it's beautiful. Although I will say, and this is, I can get on a tangent here if we want to, but the grass being green when it snows actually makes it look a lot cooler, so at least there's that.
It looks cool from your front window. It does not from your front steps.
You don't want it, but if you're looking at it, at least it looks nice.
A very Christmassy kind of feel.
Yeah.
Some green mixed in with your snow.
Green grass instead of brown grass.
All right, David, the Royals starting lineup is now posted for today. Would you like to make a guess at where Whit Merrifield is playing today?
Oh, I saw he's in center field.
Okay.
The thing about that, it's interesting because I had heard back in, it was August or September, the Royals were kind of thinking about what they're going to do in 2018, how they were going to handle things. And the thought was, one of the things they threw around was putting Whit Merrifield in center field this year because, and he said this before, it's his most comfortable position. Which is interesting. He's a pretty solid defensive second baseman. He's not great, but he's good. And, he was a center fielder, an outfielder, really, in college before Jackie Bradley Jr. displaced him. And so that's what forced him to kind of learn other positions and figure things out. And so I'm not terribly surprised he's playing center field in 2018. It's just the way it's come about. Not great. Because, you're getting playing time. First of all, to put Whit Merrifield in center field, that means Ryan Goins is playing, which I've said this multiple times. Ryan Goins is Chris Getz without the talent.
And
Chris
Getz
was a major leaguer without the talent. So, the thing about Goins, he's not especially great defensively. He can't hit. He's not fast. So what does he do? I don't know.
It's like the movie Office Space when they bring him in for the meeting and they say, what is it you'd say you do around here?
Exactly. And going, he had a three-hit day, I think, or a two-hit day the other day, whatever it was. Once that happened, you could see the writing on the wall that he was going to play a lot more. But the other problem with this, the scary thing about today's lineup, is other than Chesler Cuthbert, who I don't really know why they're
next question. Why is he not getting at-bats at DH? Why is Paulo Orlando all of a sudden the DH?
I have no idea. So the problem, other than that, I'm not sure this isn't their best lineup right now.
Oh, boy.
And that's terrifying. But as for Cuthbert, I don't know. And something that, you kind of hear bits and pieces here and there, and I wrote about this on Friday, I would not be – I actually talked about it with Cody on Sports Night a couple nights, a chance to go too. I would not be terribly shocked if Cuthbert is gone when Bonifacio comes back and Mike Moustakas gets an extension to play third base for a couple more years, because I don't know what it is. Something's up with Cuthbert, and maybe he's just hurt. Maybe he's got a little nagging injury or something, but it does seem that after talking him up, they've kind of backed away from him pretty quickly since spring training. And Paulo Orlando at DH, they say he's got a little something. I can't remember what they said was nagging on an injury of him.
His knee was barking, I believe is what
his knee, that's right, okay. So the thing about Paulo Orlando is if he can't play the field, he just doesn't play. You don't have to get his bat in the lineup. He's not a guy you go, oh, we got to keep him in there and he can DH, he can DH. No. Guys who have no plate discipline and very little power and don't hit very well don't get DH shots.
He had a strikeout last night against the Angels. He swung at strike three. It was about 8 inches off the plate.
Yeah,
and I'm like, that's why he's not a big league player. Things like that.
Right. And the thing about Orlando, he'd be fine. He's not a good fourth outfielder. He's fine. He's a fantastic fifth outfielder because he can play center field. He does occasionally put a charge into the ball. You know, he does a lot of things that your 25th man on the roster, you don't mind if he's your 25th man on the roster. But, I mean, you don't have to get his bat in the lineup. So either they are souring on Cuthbert, which it sure seems like that might be, or he's got a bigger nagging injury than Orlando does. And whatever it is, it made for this lineup being especially rough. And, you know, you think back to the starters. Or what if they had Moustakas and Jay and Duda in the fold, and they had Perez and Bonifacio and Merrifield, and you look at that lineup and you thought, okay.
That's pretty good.
Right. This is not a 1927 Yankees lineup, but it's not bad.
Right.
And then you lose Perez and you lose Bonifacio, and – you know, it just starts to compound. And then you add in the cold weather, which has certainly hurt this offense. I mean, you can't argue that the cold weather has been beneficial considering what the pitching staff has done. I don't think the pitching staff is that great, and they put up really good numbers outside of a couple relievers. I think part of that's the weather. The weather has helped the pitching staff. The weather has hurt the offense. I don't think you can argue that. And so, you know, but now you're starting to get some injuries. And Alex Gordon being hurt, I know he wasn't hitting, but – you know, at least he played that elite defense in the outfield. He was looking pretty good in the center field, honestly. You know, you get all that coupled and Bonifacio suspension, and it's just, I mean, the best way you can describe it is woof. Because it's just nothing's gone right, and what has gone, where they've been healthy has gone wrong too. It's a lot of bad things. The good news is at least Perez might be coming back next week, so there's that. But at that point, gosh, they might be mathematically eliminated the way they're playing.
Yeah, Salvador Perez sent out yesterday on a rehab assignment to AA Northwest Arkansas. I believe they're in San Antonio this weekend. So perhaps playing in the warm weather was that, because the Storm Chasers in Omaha are home, and they got rained out yesterday, and they may have some snow. I'm not sure, but probably wanted to get him down into the warm weather, definitely.
Yeah, I'm sure. And it wouldn't surprise me. I haven't looked ahead at Northwest Arkansas' schedule, but if they go somewhere, I mean, there's a ton of cold weather cities in the Texas League, but if they go somewhere where it might be cold, they might move down to Wilmington just to get some bats.
You're listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. We're talking with David Leske, who writes about the Royals for Baseball Prospectus. Follow him on Twitter at DB Leske. As I go through the lineup, which is pretty much the same, John Jay's back at the top. And I'm calling John Jay. I'm going to give him a nickname. I've talked about this a couple of times. I'm going to call him Mr. First Base because he plays left field. He can play center field. But every time I look up at the TV, if the Royals are batting, he's standing on first base. And we had this discussion.
Yeah.
I was with some friends of mine last night. We had a kids' soccer game. We played in the rain. It was miserable, so we went out for a little bit afterwards. And we were talking during the game, and then when we were out, if you're looking for something good, the fact that John Jay is getting on base a lot and playing pretty good defense in left field, Lucas Duda is getting on base for crying out loud. I'm sure he'll regress to the mean at some point, but if you're looking at tradable players, those two playing well are good things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're playing really well. Moustakas is, I mean.
And Moose, if that becomes a trade bait. But you said they might give him a contract extension. Or you'd think about it.
Yeah.
You'd think about it.
I think as far as the Moose situation goes, when the Royals look at their third base tree, to quote Ned Yost from a while back.
That old chestnut.
Yeah. They don't have much on it. If they're soured on Cuthbert, because they're playing Dozier at third base a lot in AAA right now, which it makes a lot of sense. I don't know that they see him as a third baseman. I think they might see him as a first baseman, a guy they can move to the corner outfield occasionally, play some third, but I don't know that they see him as a starting third baseman, right or wrong. And so then if you look ahead, the closest third base prospect other than Dozier, if Cuthbert is no longer in the picture, is probably Emmanuel Rivera, and I think he's in Wilmington. Mm-hmm. And he's a decent prospect, but it's a little ways away. And I've been playing Corey Toops at third base in Northwest Arkansas. Maybe him. I don't see it there either. So I can see them extending him. But if not, all three guys they brought in on those cheap deals are pretty solid trade bait. They all have an opportunity to bring back something decent. Adding Kelvin Herrera, who's been really good to start the season, very small sample, but his fastball has been good, his changeup's been good, his slider's been good, everything's been good. He could bring back something. And, you know, truthfully, Jason Hamill has been pretty okay, too. And if he...
Yes, he has, yeah.
If he's out there in June or July, what a $9 million deal, so the team's got to pay him $3, $4 million to help pitch every fifth day down the stretch. You're not going to get back a number one prospect for him. But, I mean, you could get back something for him, too. So that's 20% of the roster, I think, is really solid trade bait. And look, the other thing, too, Ian Kennedy, it's going to be harder to trade him because of the contract, but he's been really good. And if he's healthy, you're looking at 2 years and $33 million plus whatever's left of this season, whenever they get around to it. Yeah, they throw in some money, they might be able to get something from him, too. And so the positives, and this is totally back to 2009-2010 Royals thinking. One of the positives are the guys who are possibly trade bait have been playing really well. And so if they keep that up, they could get back a few pieces to add to their system, which I think is climbing the ranks slowly as the minor league season's gone and their top prospects have played really well so far. And they could get a lot of help and maybe expedite the rebuild a little bit. I don't know if they will. You know, last year they held on to people, but at the same time, they were in a wild card spot at the trade deadline. So what else are they going to do in the last season of these guys, of the big four? So, you know, I think there's some positives to the season. The other side of it, too, they're 3-10, which is horrible. There are four games I've counted. I'm keeping a list this year because I have some ideas for next season maybe.
Okay.
But there are four games this year that the bullpen has blown 100%. Two of them were tie games, so maybe they don't win those. Maybe they win one of those. But think, if you had three wins, they're 6-7. How bad does that look? It's fine.
It actually looks good.
It's whatever. 6-7 through 13, that's great. And so, you know, if they can fix this bullpen, which I believe they will, and I believe it will be fixed by the end of this season, you know, I don't think they're a good team, but they're not this bad. They're going to get healthy. They're going to get some guys back. You know, I don't think they're going to compete this season or next season or probably 2020. And it's not as dire as it looks at the big league level right now. There are definitely some positive signs.
And that was one of the things I talked about early in the show is please tell me it's not as bad as it looks or what my eyes tell me, and I'm glad you said that. By the way, we're talking with David Leske from Baseball Perspectives, covers the Kansas City Royals. We're talking to him here on Sports Sunday. And I just checked for Salvador Perez rehab assignment at Northwest Arkansas. They were in Corpus Christi Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then today they begin a three-game series in San Antonio. So we were right on that. So three warm weather days there. I don't know why they start a series on a Sunday, but it's the minor leagues.
Yeah, minor leagues are weird.
It's weird. And then they'll have a day off Wednesday, and then they'll be back at the Northwest Arkansas Stadium Thursday and Friday for games against Tulsa and then on the road at Tulsa. So a chance to play a week's worth of games in at least warmer, better weather than we're having here. Definitely.
Yeah, and you know, it hasn't been that long. He's healed really quickly to get out on a rehab assignment. You know, he played a game. His last game would have been the last spring training game that Sunday before the season started. So whatever that was, the 24th or something. And you know, it hasn't been that long. He might only need 5, 6, 7 games down there. I could see him back, and I think this would please him to no end, on the 24th for that Brewer series when Lorenzo Cain comes to town.
His good friend. You know, he likes to tease.
Yeah, and I mean, he could easily get, over the course of a week, I think he needs 25 at-bats or so to kind of get back to it. He can get that in that week from now until next weekend. And, you know, maybe, like I said, maybe be back in the lineup on the 24th.
Are you listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB? My name is Brad Porter. We're talking with David Leske from Baseball Perspectives, talking Royals and also a little Angels. So if the game gets in, I'm assuming they're going to play today if there's no precipitation. It's just going to be miserable. It's going to be like 35 degrees with a wind chill in the 20s. And, you know, after last night's game, we were watching the game. And again, I was watching with some friends last night when we were out. And you saw the snow blowing across the TV screen. And so the question I had, because I didn't play Major League Baseball, but I played in nasty weather, with a ball barreling in on you at 98 miles an hour and snow, I mean big snowflakes coming sideways in front of your face, how do you see the ball? And Mike Trout said after the game, look, I love snow. I'm from New Jersey. But in his last at bat, he didn't see two pitches. And you saw the strikeout that Matt Burch got on him after a 14-pitch battle. He didn't see the last two pitches. To me, that sounds dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you play on that. And you know, you think back to when you're a kid, high school sports, they start in, like, baseball starts in February.
Oh yeah,
and so
it's miserable.
I don't remember playing in snow, honestly, which is partially because I think that when you're 15, they just cancel the game.
Right. If
there's a single snowflake, they're like, yeah, we're done. Those umpires are making $18 a game. They're not standing out there.
Right.
I can't imagine having to deal with that. And you know, today's interesting too because the sky, it's gray, but it's also mostly like white.
Yeah.
And so pop-ups today with the wind, with the sky, there might be some adventures out there today.
Yeah.
But if there's no precipitation, the Angels don't come back to town, I don't think. I think they only play the one series here and the one series in Anaheim. Yeah, they're going to do everything they can to get it in. And if it's not coming out of the sky, I don't think they're going to call the game just because it's chilly out.
Yeah.
Shohei Ohtani threw a 98 miles per hour with his breaking pitches, and it could be a really, really rough go for a really, really rough offense. And you look across the field and the other young pitcher on the mound who is not quite as good.
Not even close.
Goldland, you know, the Angels have a big advantage today in this weather because Goldland doesn't have good stuff. So, you know, you don't have to worry about a 98-mile-per-hour fastball bearing in on you on your hands when it's, like you said, the wind chill in the 20s. And they have a pretty big advantage in this one, and I don't think they need an advantage against the Royals. So it's not a great game.
No.
But hey, at least maybe we'll get to see a Shohei Ohtani no-hitter. That's a silver lining. We'd see history potentially.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, Ian Kinsler's back at the top of the lineup for the Angels, and I swear he hits 1,000 against the Royals.
I think you're wrong. I think he hits 1,200. He gets more than one hit for every appearance.
He gets two hits for every plate appearance.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Much.
But let's get to the big show. It's must-see baseball is what I call it. The NBC used to have must-see TV. Shohei Ohtani has become must-see baseball. And like I was joking earlier, like on Quick Pitch on MLB Network, which I love. If Shohei Ohtani's DHing that day, you're going to see at least one at-bat in the highlights from Ohtani. If he has the day off the day before he pitches, they're going to say, here's who's pitching tomorrow, and here's Ohtani. They're going to have his highlights the day he pitches, and then the next day when he has the day off after he pitches, it's here's what he did yesterday. Everybody has to talk about Ohtani, and I think it's a great story if you have a player that transcends across the entire league that everybody's talking about, it's great. Unfortunately, the Royals have to face him today. So as you look at his numbers and his performances, and you drill down and find the reasons why players perform the way they do, obviously we can see he throws 100 miles an hour. He's got nasty stuff. But what are the things below the surface that maybe we don't look at that make him so good or that have made him so good this early?
Well, I think he doesn't have any fear. And he's a guy who, you know, he came over to the United States and he could have waited and been able to get a massive contract. But because of the new rules, they had to bid the $20 million posting fee, and then they could only sign him to a minor league deal. That's the best he can really get, given the bonus structure they're allowed with the international free agents now. And so he wanted to come to the United States. He didn't care. He basically said, I'll earn the money eventually.
Right.
I just want to play on that level on that stage. And you know that right there. Is I think one of the biggest reasons why it's hard for a guy that talented with that much confidence to fail. You know, if you are at, you know, there are people who have that confidence that they haven't earned at all. But I mean, Ohtani's earned it and he's got it.
Right.
The repertoire, everything about him is great. The funny thing is, he was so bad in spring training. I mean, he couldn't get a hit. He couldn't get hitters out. He walked a ton of guys. He was just horrible. And then the lights turn on in the regular season, and I think that shows what kind of a player he is. When he's at that level, when it's showtime, Shohani time, Shohtani time, I should have said. It's it's special to watch him. I remember I was listening to MLB Network Radio before the season, and one of the analysts, who I won't name, said that he would do three things with Ohtani. He would send him to Double A, get him an MRI, and have him go to Tommy John.
I remember that.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, A. But B, now it's just crazy to me that he's turned this on like he has. And you know, at some point he's going to get hit hard. At some point he's going to look stupid in the batter's box. And he's going to go through a 2-for-22 slump, because every hitter does, including the best player in baseball who he shares a team with, and Mike Trout. But, you know, right now he can't do anything wrong. And like I said, this winner today I think only helps him. So, of course, that means he's going to give up 9 runs on 14 hits in the inning.
And Ryan Goins is going to go 3-for-4 with a triple and 2 RBIs.
And never get a day off again. but yeah, I mean, these are the best conditions. If you want to see Shohei Ohtani excel, today's game is probably your best bet. As good as he's been, facing a bad lineup in horrible hitting conditions, I mean, it could be a special game for him today on the mound. And, you know, he doesn't need the help, but he's getting it.
Well, I will watch comfortably from in front of a TV. I will not be at Kauffman Stadium. Hey, David Lesky, I appreciate all the good insight and information, and encourage the folks to follow you at DB Lesky, LESKY. Good stuff today, and again, I'm going to stay warm and inside and watch the game. If you want to go to the ballpark, David, have at it. There'll be plenty of seats available.
Staying inside. I have tickets today, and I'm not going.
All right. Hey, David, thank you very much. I appreciate the time, as always.
Yeah, thanks, Brad.
All right, David Lesky, who covers the Royals, writes about the Royals for Baseball Prospectus, talking Royals and Shohei Ohtani.
I told you, no one's going to the game.
He's not going.
Yeah, nobody's going.
I don't remember a time where I've bought tickets and not gone to a game, unless there was maybe an emergency or something that came up. I've never bought tickets and not gone to a game. My dad is a hardworking guy, worked on the railroad, did 39 years in the Air Force Reserves. He's a very thrifty person. If I ever told him that I bought tickets to something and he didn't go, he would be very upset. But if I had tickets today and they were not in the Diamond Club or the Crown Club or the Left Field Club, whatever that one's called, or what's the one in right field, the Bud Light Pavilion, whatever that is, if I was inside, I might go. But I'm not going to sit outside today.
I actually bought tickets and then didn't go, but unintentionally.
Ooh.
We went in to get like the commemorative jersey that they were giving away.
Oh yeah.
And we went back out to the car to tailgate where we went as
in.
My birthday, but yeah, we didn't realize that you could go and get like a readmittance pass.
Right.
So we went out to listen to the draft and tailgate, and when we tried to go back in, they're like, "Yeah, you can't do it." So
they
bought tickets and didn't go to the game.
Should give you a wristband or something as soon as you get in case you forget.
It was the Glenn Dorsey, Brandon Albert,
why would you
Brandon
not, yeah.
Flowers draft.
Wouldn't
want
to miss
that. So we were all fired up about that.
Wouldn't want to miss that.
There had been quite a few beers involved.
Right. All right. So we talked to David Lesky. That's good. Coming up later in the show, Andy Edwards is going to join us in the 11 o'clock hour. Talk Sporting KC, hosting Seattle today. Another outdoor game. They'll be at 3 o'clock at Children's Mercy Park in KCK. You can hear it live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB with Nate Bucati on the call. But coming up next, we're going to switch gears and talk a little NBA. Did you take in the first games yesterday? Started in the afternoon and went late last night. There's more games today. Took in some of those games. I'm back into the NBA. I love it. So we're going to talk with Kurt Heelan from NBCSports.com. Set you up for the NBA, and then we'll talk Sporting KC, and then more Royals and Chiefs. This is Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. We're broadcasting live from the Riley House Studios. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Whenever I hear a good guitar riff, I think of a live concert stage, and fire being shot out of whatever you shoot fire out of, this fire dispenser, I don't know. There's always fire at a rock and roll show, and I like that on a day like today, when it's snowy, a little icy, still 29 degrees, cloudy, snowed during the night here in Kansas City, across the Midwest. It's all you get a rock show. There's fire. It makes you feel a little warm. Speaking of being warm, we're going to head to Los Angeles right now. First time that we have had the pleasure of having Kurt Heelan on the show. He writes for NBCSports.com and covers the NBA. Kurt, I certainly hope that in Southern California, you're not sitting under snow and ice and wind chills of 16 degrees today.
No, not at all. I was just saying, while you were saying that, I'm thinking, wow, it got a kind of a late one, I guess, because it, you know, it's kind of you think you'd be getting a little spring by now.
We were supposed to. This is our third consecutive Sunday in April with snow, and there was a day about 2 weeks ago, a Thursday, where it was like 75 degrees, went out and played golf. And then this week we had 2 days where it was 75 and 82 on, I think, Wednesday and Thursday, and then we're back to rain and snow.
Man. I think it must be your Sunday show.
It could be. We seem to get bad weather on weekends, but we'll see. It is going to warm up. The earth tilts a certain direction. At some point, we are going to warm up. So I appreciate you joining us. Like I said, we haven't had you on before, but a lot of us here at Sports Radio 810 WHB and Union Broadcasting are big NBA fans. I've gotten back into it the last, probably 6 years, and my kids are really into the NBA. That's probably what drew me back in, plus the compelling players, you know, Seth and James Harden and Westbrook, and I mean, name it one after another, but really back into it. And just before I dive into these games, covering the NBA, have you noticed a resurgence in interest from around the country, including non-NBA markets like Kansas City?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's really, the popularity of the sport has really taken off over the last few years. I think it's the most popular it's been since the Jordan era, and it's kind of funny because it's just kind of hard to put a finger on it. I think, like you said, having some really recognizable stars and faces, you know, whether it's LeBron or Curry or Durant or Harden down the line is part of it, and I think that they've embraced social media and kind of approached that side of it much better than like the NFL has.
Absolutely. The NFL generally likes its players to not say anything, or when they do, to speak in cliches and just not be social. Yeah. Now, players are finding ways around that. Travis Kelce with the Chiefs is really good at it. And there's several Chiefs players who are good at it, but the teams would rather their players not engage at all. But I think you're right about the NBA, and they have terrific personalities. I hate to use this word, but they're charming. I mean, the player, whether you like them or don't like them, or if you have a good guy or a bad guy, they're compelling people just to watch.
Well, yeah, and sort of just like wrestling. I think you need both. I think you've got to have some guys to root against. And so Kevin Durant becomes a guy, after he goes, kind of a lot of people turn on him, he becomes the heel, as it were, in wrestling. And you still need both. You still got to have, like, you know, ratings were great when LeBron went to Miami because a lot of people tuned in to root against him. So it still works.
Okay, I'm going to ask you this because I heard there was a national talk show on this morning. We'll start there with Kevin Durant and the Warriors, who absolutely snowplowed the San Antonio Spurs yesterday afternoon. I'm using the term snowplow because we actually have snow here. But I heard a discussion on a national talk show this morning that was one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. So one of the hosts is a big 76ers fan, and that's a fun team. Speaking of fun teams, that's a fun team to watch. We watched Joel Embiid here in Kansas City the 1 year he was at KU. We didn't see all of that personality at KU. It really exploded now, and talk about social media. He's the king right now, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
The host of this show is a 76ers fan, and he said, you know, several weeks ago when the Where's LeBron Going talk started, I was like, well, if he comes to the 76ers, that'll be awesome. And then the host said, you know, and then I watched the Warriors, and Kevin Durant has become kind of the bad guy, and now the Warriors have become unlikable. So now I'm thinking, maybe I don't want LeBron to go to the 76ers because I don't want my team to become unlikable, which is one of the most ridiculous things I have ever heard. If your team gets LeBron James, you'll be doing backflips till next Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, that rumor's really hot around the league right now.
Is it?
Start talking about where LeBron's going to come up. That one started to it's hard to predict what's going to happen because, LeBron very well, I don't think, knows. But beyond that, he keeps a very tight inner circle. Okay, his advisors, his group of people, there's a small number of them, they don't leak. Like, they're just, or if they do, it's with a purpose. They're not putting stuff out there. A lot of it's speculation around him, but a lot around the league, a lot of that speculation is looking at the Sixers now, because it doesn't take a lot of moves for them to get him. And I mean, they looked fantastic yesterday without Embiid. Obviously, they'll get him back. They should. There's a real straight path for them to the conference finals, where they would take on LeBron, or if Toronto, if the fact that LeBron's team can't defend to save their lives right now actually eventually catches up with them.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, that rumor is really hot, and yes, you will take him. And because it really, it would change your chemistry. It would alter some things in a sense, but LeBron's got a handful of years left. I mean, it's a little hard to judge because normally you'd say, oh, he's 33, he's 15
but
years
he's been,
in.
Yeah, he's been kind of playing since he was 18.
Yeah. I mean, well, he's got more regular season minutes racked up than Michael Jordan had. I mean, there's a lot of miles on him, and we know this in every sport, right? We know what the bell curve of a guy's career looks like. You know, there's the peak. By 33 and all those miles, you've started to decline. LeBron didn't. Like, he's just blowing that bell curve up. He's just – Jordan did that, and some other guy, you know, I think Karl Malone did that, Kareem. He's just – I mean, he was – if it weren't for James Harden being James Harden this year, he'd be the MVP. He's been absolutely phenomenal this year, and there's no slowing, but he's not got a lot of time. I mean, he's not on the same career arc as Simmons and Embiid and Fultz and, you know, everybody else they're going to have. So you bring him in for a couple years, win some, and then you just keep winning without him.
Mm-hmm. And the narrative is that LeBron really likes Ben Simmons as a player. I don't know if they get along. I know they talk trash on the court, but that's just what guys do. Is the word around the league, does he get along with Ben Simmons? Does he like him? Because he seems to be embracing him as the next guy.
Yes, and they share an agent. Ben Simmons is a Rick Paul Clutch Sports client. And remember, LeBron's agent isn't just LeBron's agent. LeBron's agent is LeBron James's friend from long ago. So like, it's more personal for him when people join his organization. So yeah, that does play in, but Ben looked fantastic last night. I mean, I really thought Miami would give Philadelphia more problems in this series one game. I don't want to overreact, but they looked great last night and really kind of just took it to them in the second half.
All right, we'll go back to the Warriors, and we're talking with Kurt Heelan, by the way, from NBC Sports .com, who covers the NBA. Warriors Spurs. We said yesterday we were trying to predict series and some, you know, I don't like to predict a sweep, but after watching yesterday afternoon, I don't see the Spurs holding a candle to this team and giving them any sort of a challenge unless the Warriors just fall asleep for a game.
Yeah, exactly. I think the team that will beat the Warriors in this series will be the Warriors. I mean,
right.
For one game, they flipped the switch. They were engaged defensively. They were moving the ball. They were doing everything the Warriors do. And it's not quite the same without Steph Curry out there just because of what he brings to the offense in terms of drawing defenders away and opening space up. But it's good. Yeah, it's still really good. And the Spurs just don't have an answer. Without Kawhi Leonard, they don't have anything that there's – I mean, did you see – I don't know if you saw the answer. He was a little bit mad at the way the question was phrased, but somebody –
Oh, I saw the Popovich video today, yeah.
Yeah, the Popovich. What are we going to do? Well, I'm going to have Danny Green grow 6 inches and learn to jump higher. there isn't an answer.
What about Wizards-Raptors I like? There's a lot of good young players in this series, and I think the Raptors get overlooked nationally because they're just not on TV like the Warriors and the Spurs and the Celtics and the Cavaliers. So they're a little overlooked, but the Wizards are a compelling story for us here in the Midwest. They have Otto Porter Jr., who's from Missouri and won a state championship in high school in Missouri. They've got Markieff Morris, a former Kansas Jayhawk. They've got Kelly Oubre Jr., another former Jayhawk. Bradley Beal, who played some summer ball here in Kansas City. And, of course, John Wall and Gortat. I cannot take my eyes off Gortat when he's on the court because he's so freaky looking, but the Wizards are a fun team to watch. I don't know if they have the legs to go. I don't know how far they can go, but they're a fun team to watch.
They really are. And this was a matchup that the Raptors really didn't want, just because Washington didn't take the regular season seriously enough, honestly. I mean, They were the eighth seed. Yes, they were missing Wall for part of it, but I mean, I saw them twice when they were fully healthy out here in Los Angeles against the not very good young Lakers team, and at the time a very banged up, down Clippers team. And they lost both those games. They just, like, I don't respect the opponent, ergo I'm not going to bring it, you know, every night. They didn't build good habits, but they still scare everybody because it's kind of, you know, they've got some guys who have been around. Oubre's actually had a really nice season for them off the bench. He really started to find his groove and come into his own. And Porter, you know, Porter got paid a lot of money, but then he kind of earned it this year. He's been a great kind of third option for them. And you're just like, man, if they do put it together, if they start to figure it out, that's just not the team you want. And they did it for stretches last night, and Toronto was able to win. But I think tough series for Toronto. But on the flip side, if you're Toronto and you're trying to convince yourself you're really good, that helps. I think that as good as that team has been, there is a real, certainly among the fan base, which is like maybe the most pessimistic in the NBA, and one of those fan bases just expects everything to go wrong. There's a real, but on the team side too, they expect things to go wrong, and I think that they can get through this series. Then they've got to deal with LeBron, and we'll see what goes wrong.
All right, we're talking with Kurt Heelan, NBCSports.com. Give him a follow on Twitter, @BasketballTalk, which I love that you were able to get that Twitter handle because that's one most basketball guys would want, @BasketballTalk. You got in on that early, apparently.
Actually, not as early as you'd think. But
okay.
Yeah. I think I switched over to that one in, 2010. So, I mean, not recently, but, you know, Twitter was still really going at that point. I would have thought somebody snagged it up, but I'll take it.
Okay. I'm looking at today's games, and Jazz Thunder, I think, could be highly entertained. And for the Utah Jazz, you know, you have a player who's Donovan Mitchell, who is probably going to finish second in Rookie of the Year voting, but he's a terrific player to watch. And much like Toronto, they're not on national TV a lot. But they have some fun, interesting players on their team. Can they overcome a Russell Westbrook-led Oklahoma City Thunder squad?
I definitely think they can. I think this is really a toss-up series. It's also like one of the hardest ones to predict, but it's going to be great because it's just strength on strength. You've got the Oklahoma City offense is Russell Westbrook driving the lane, right?
It's right.
Straightforward, straight line drive. I'm going to the rim. Russell Westbrook this year, 40% of his shots came at the rim. Like, he's just, I'm going there. I'm going to take it straight through. And on the other side, you've got Rudy Gobert, who will be Defensive Player of the Year, who's just an absolute, the best rim protector in the league. He's just huge, blocks shots, is physically strong. And he's like, you going to drive right at me? All right, let's go.
Bring it.
And exactly. It's good. And I think, I mean, that's, there's a lot more to it. Donovan Mitchell's going to have to learn how to figure out how to create offense with a very tender and tall forward draped all over him. There's just a lot of fascinating matchups in this one, but it should be, it's because it's strength on strength, it's going to be fun. And if I'll tell you the thing you really want to watch in this one, just as a fan and watching the series, Westbrook will take fewer shots at the rim, but he will pull up, and he does this occasionally, he'll pull up, you know, 10 to 15 feet out, and just try the pull-up jumper over, you know, kind of arc it over Gobert.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Westbrook's streaky from the mid-range. If they're falling, the Thunder are going to win that game, and if he can hit enough, they'll win the series. But if they're not falling, Utah's not going to score a ton in this series, but they move the ball. They're going to get their points. They're going to go look for Derek Favors to have a big series because he's matched up on Carmelo Anthony, and they're just going to go right at that for a while. It's a really fun X's and O's, just great matchup that I think is going to go. I think this is a 6 or 7 game intense series.
And I'm definitely looking forward to it. Two other things to hit on here before we let you go. And we're talking with Kurt Heelan, NBCSports.com, covers the NBA. Follow him on Twitter, @BasketballTalk. Rockets, Timberwolves, to me, this is a 4-and-out. Four games and done. I don't see the Timberwolves hang with the Rockets. I just don't.
They during the regular season, too, they just couldn't stop them. They just defensively, they cannot stop them. Minnesota's not a very good, consistent defensive team. And look, they can do a little damage. Just Jimmy Butler is a very good individual defender. You can put him on James Harden, but Houston's not a traditional Mike D'Antoni run type of team. what they do is hunt mismatches. Like they figure out who they want to attack, the switch. They force you to switch off the pick and roll and try to, or just whatever they have to do to attack whatever mismatch they want to go at, and they're just merciless at it. They're just relentless. And there's a whole lot of guys on that Minnesota team they can go at. So it's just, I just don't think Minnesota can stop them. They'll score. I just don't think they can stop them.
All right, Cavaliers-Pacers, the LeBron show. And in the regular season, the Cavaliers only won two more games than the Pacers, 50 versus 48. As you mentioned, the Cavaliers play terrible defense, maybe a little better when they went through that massive trading cycle and sequence. And maybe they just sleep through the regular season on defense. And I don't know if there's a magic switch you can flip, but Tyronn Lue, another Kansas City connection here, played at Raytown High School and was on one of the great all-time basketball teams here in Kansas City. Their head coach said, well, we've got a few things to throw at them in the playoffs that they didn't see in the regular season. I don't know how you do that after 82 games, especially when guys came in halfway through, but do they have enough deficiencies on defense the Pacers can take advantage of?
A few. The main thing that'll change is LeBron James will care on defense. Like during the regular season, that is where he rests. That is where he gets, it takes care of those legs a little bit. And now in the postseason, he will dial it up. And so with that, they'll be fine. They will get enough stops, at least against Indiana. Toronto in the next round is a far more interesting challenge. But in this series, Indiana was a team we thought was I and many of people thought they were lottery bound. They got ripped. Remember, they traded for Victor Oladipo for Paul George. We're like, man, that was a mistake. Oladipo is going to be an All NBA player this year, close to it. It's on my ballot. He was, absolutely phenomenal on both ends of the floor. But it's the playoffs. If you have one guy, I can give you trouble. And now, granted, it's a little true with Cleveland. Their one guy's a little better. And they have Kevin Love. They have some other veterans out there. But I think you can slow Indiana in the playoffs. They just don't have enough pieces.
All right, final question for you is we talk with Kurt Heelan, NBCSports.com. Follow him on Twitter, @BasketballTalk. Final question for you that has nothing to do with the playoffs. There's a Twitter account called @70sports, and they post a lot of great old photos. And you mentioned Mike D'Antoni earlier, and there was a photo posted this week of the Kansas City Kings, I think from the 74-75 season, 75-76. And in the team photo was Mike D'Antoni and Rick Adelman as players with the Kansas City Kings. And I'm old enough to have seen the Kansas City Kings play at Kemper Arena before they left town. They went to a Western Conference Finals, lost to the Rockets. We had some really great players, Phil Ford.
Tiny Archibald, right?
Yeah, Tiny Archibald. Nate Tiny Archibald, Phil Ford, Grunfeld, Sam Lacy.
Yep.
So we've been starving. We have not gotten a basketball team. The Sprint Center was built, and there were thoughts, okay, we're going to get the NBA or the NHL. There are a lot of people in town who are big NBA fans, who like KU and Mizzou and K-State, and know a lot of the things about the league. We are starving for the NBA. We go to the exhibition games they bring here to town every year. Is there any talk, and make this quick because I got to wrap it up, is there any talk about expansion or a team relocating that Kansas City could horn in on?
Expansion is not on the table right now.
It's
not the majority of owners who are into it. And if you want to get a team, you got to find one that's up for sale that you can move. You got to find your billionaires when it comes to. If you got your right billionaire, you can find a way to get it done if you're a little patient.
We'll go get the billionaire tree and see if we got anything.
Okay. So, yeah, you're on that. You're on that personally.
Absolutely. Yeah. Maybe we can go halvesies on it. Hey, Kurt, thank you very much. Like I said, we haven't had a chance to have you on before. That was really great. And hopefully we can get you on again throughout the course of the playoffs. All right?
I would love to. Yeah.
All right. Enjoy that Southern California weather today.
I will tell you about going outside in shorts. I'll be nice.
All right. Thank you very much. That is Kurt Heelan from NBCSports.com talking a little NBA as we're into the playoffs now, and a lot of former KU players and Missouri and K-State players in there. And unfortunately for the Wichita State player, Fred Van Vliet is injured, so he's not playing right now. I wanted to see him into the playoffs, so we appreciate that. Follow Kurt on Twitter @BasketballTalk. All right, we will take a quick timeout. Coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, Andy Edwards will join us, talk a little Sporting KC. Sporting home this afternoon, 3 o'clock against Seattle. You can hear it here live, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Oh, well, this is a great song. This was, look, you can laugh at people like me who used to watch the show Entourage, but this show, or this song was played at the rollout to one of the episodes of Entourage, and it was absolutely fantastic. The people at HBO and Showtime who pick the music to roll out at the end of shows and where the song has a connection to a show are awesome. And this song was at the end of an episode of Entourage, and it was awesome.
Which episode? I don't remember that.
I'm not a person who, I can't quote you, season 5, episode 8. I'm not that kind of person.
Oh.
I just remember the song.
I certainly could.
What? And I'll have to ask you at the break, the title and artist, and I'll do a search for it and find it. But
the song's called Empire of the Sun.
Yeah.
I forget who it's by.
Yeah. But it's a great song. I like it.
Brad, a word of advice to you.
Yes.
Download the Pandora app.
Okay.
In the next break.
Okay.
And download just your first station. Do Passion Pit.
Okay.
And you'll find all these
songs
that I play on there.
Right. This is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and broadcasting across the Midwest. My name is Brad Porter. I'll be your host. Jed Marshall is running the show today, and then we'll take you up till noon. And then Baseball Tonight takes over to get you ready for Royals and Angels. And your host for that show will be Brad Porter, myself.
And I'll be
And Jed Marshall
right here,
will still
so,
be
yeah,
here.
Well,
and Charlie Carlin's running around getting some stuff ready. So
yeah, Rudy's here.
Yeah, it's a good day to stay in and turn on the radio, and there's nothing on TV for you this time of day. Come on.
I don't think so.
You gonna watch some show about the week in politics, which I do on occasion, and I've kind of gotten away from it just because I'm tired of it. But
I like the infomercials on Sunday.
Do you?
Well, I mean, not really, but I find that's what a lot of just regular antenna television is.
Speaking of commercials and infomercials, look, I'm all for a PSA to tell you not to text and drive, which we just had at the end of that last break. But please, if you have a commercial, do not put police sirens in it. Because there have been occasions where I'm driving and I'm not paying attention to what's on the radio, and I'll hear a siren in a commercial and I'll start to pull off to the side and get out of the way. Here comes a police car on the way to an emergency. Oh, it's a commercial. So please stop playing sirens in commercials.
No honking in commercials
no
either.
No honking either.
Have you seen that curb?
Huh?
That Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Oh, yes, yes.
The Amco commercial?
Yes, yes. No honking, no sirens. Those are the two rules for commercials. All right. Speaking of inclement weather, the Royals are still scheduled to play today. Yeah, despite the brutal temperatures. Across Major League Baseball, we've already had several cancellations today. Doubleheader in Detroit between the Tigers and Yankees canceled. Game in Cleveland against the Toronto Blue Jays canceled. In Chicago with the Cubs and Atlanta Braves canceled. And already last night, the White Sox Twins got canceled last night. So four games already lost to weather today that we know of. But so far, the Royals and Angels will get it going at 1:15 out at Kauffman Stadium. It's going to be cold and miserable, but that's the way it is. All right, so we'll wrap up that last guest talking about the NBA. I think there's a exploding interest, and even here in Kansas City where we don't have it. I was asking Kurt Helin if he'd heard any word about the possibility of expansion or of a team relocating that Kansas City could jump on. And I know there's a lot of hockey fans, too, here in Kansas City. Paul McGannon, who's part of NHL 21, has been working for 20-something years to bring hockey back to Kansas City. He's a huge hockey fan. I think mostly Blues is who he follows. Good guy. But NBA expansion, could Kansas City pull it off? Could we support the Royals, the Chiefs, Sporting Kansas City, and an NBA franchise?
I don't think an expansion team would work.
What about a relocation?
A relocation would be, it'd have to be the ideal situation, like an Oklahoma City Thunder, where you have a young superstar and a team right on the cusp of blowing up.
It just can't be a collection of stiffs.
If you had an expansion team, you may get the first overall pick or whatever, mm-hmm. but that team, as you saw in Philadelphia, is years away, you know, 3-4 years. And I think after that long, people in Kansas City would be like, you know, I don't mind going to Columbia. I don't mind driving to Manhattan or Lawrence to Wichita to watch
right.
my college basketball. We have enough with Sporting, the Mavericks, Royals games.
Yeah.
There's and a lot of stuff.
The NBA is not a cheap ticket.
No.
I mean, if you want to go there, I know a lot of folks here will take a weekend and watch the Thunder play. And those tickets are not cheap.
Yeah, my friends who live in NBA markets, they're like, yeah, it's like $250 for pretty good seats. I'm like, oh.
And
wow.
And I mean, upper decks are 80 and 90, right?
I was going to say, you go to 80 of those? Or, well, 41, I guess.
41. Plus the playoffs, and it almost gets you to 80.
Right.
The playoffs are so long. The affordability of the ticket is a negative. And then would the folks at Sprint Center and AEG who run Sprint Center, would they want to take away those 41 dates plus the playoffs? Because Sprint Center's packed all the time. They have concerts nonstop. It's one of the busiest venues in the world.
I could do without 41 nights of Backstreet Boys and Pink and stuff like that. If they just kept the good events that I want to go to and then had an NBA team, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, there would be some logistical hoops to jump through for the folks at Sprint Center to keep up the concert schedule as well as an NBA schedule. On that note, we're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll talk a little Sporting KC with Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com. We hope. Kind of swung and missed the last couple of times. Hope his alarm is set, right? So Andy Edwards will join us next. Sporting at Home today, 3 o'clock. That is coming up next. My name is Brad Porter. You're listening to Sports Sunday, live from the Rally House Studios on Sports Radio 810 WHB. You girls never know.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.